This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
Maybe you saw this. This lady's in a coffee shop and she's being insulted. And I guess they didn't think she could hear what was going on. She's a mom and she's overweight. And they were mocking her weight and they were making fun. It was two ladies that were making fun of her hair, her roots, I guess, that didn't match, whatever, whatever. And is that what you ladies do?
Oh, really?
I just thought I'd turn it this direction.
I was unprepared for that direction.
What was going to be a heartwarming moment is now turning
into
one
ridicule.
Talk about somebody's roots.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, as women, we are sort of conditioned to size other women up. And you have to be very specific and intentional, and I try to be, not to do that. You're human, and you're in this culture, so you are going to notice.
You ever say complimentary things behind people's backs?
I do, yes. Okay. I say it typically to them.
Okay.
But unfortunately, you're just conditioned to do that. You know, in a culture where women are supposed to be perfect.
I understand.
Yeah, you try
it's
to.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
So she's being ripped apart. Well, her way of responding to the embarrassment. By the way, she's lost, as an aside, she's lost 177 pounds.
Wow.
So she's come a long way, and they referred to her as a whale, among other things. Well, she heard all this, and her response was to buy them coffee.
Wow.
Now, she did add that it was from the whale.
Okay. that's like even better,
still,
actually.
What is so interesting about this, to me, is that it's national news. I mean, it's like a viral story. She put it on Facebook. It got picked up. And then people called her and interviewed her. It's national news. Now, she did something graceful towards people who are being, frankly, just evil towards her. And it makes national news. Which, our point is, when you see grace actually happen, undeserved favor, these people did not deserve. She not only forgave them, she gave them something on top of it. When you see it, it's like a bolt of lightning in a blue sky. Like, where did that come from? It's so wonderful and refreshing. Even that will make national news from a coffee shop.
Now, that is typical for women, not to do that, but to, in your mind, always be sizing up other women and yourself in comparison to them. Do men do that on any level?
I suspect that's going on. I don't think so. I do suspect that guys are talking about me.
Okay.
More like, I wonder what weightlifting regimen he uses or how he, you know.
You think that's what guys are saying about
probably.
You?
Probably. It's my guess.
All right.
What nutrition plan? He's obviously doing a lot of protein. I wonder if they out loud are going, are steroids involved?
Right.
And the answer is no. This is clean. This has all been done in a clean way.
I'm not sure that that's what the men are saying.
So it's usually just like, wow, how do I do that?
Just admiration.
Like maybe, how does he get his triceps so defined? So it's more,
I don't think you have to worry about people saying that behind your
back.
We
just build each other up. We guys are just building each other up all the time. I wonder if grocery stores know that we can listen in on their conversations on the internet. Like I found where they're talking to each other.
Where?
About how it's on. I can't remember the website.
Okay.
I cut and pasted this stuff because I'm like, no way. Well, they're telling each other how to get more money out of us.
Okay.
With tips.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is, I'm just reading this, is grocery store tips.
Is this real?
Yes.
Okay.
Tips for increasing sales. Changed item locations. Each month or quarter, change the location of popular items so shoppers who are motivated to buy them will have to look. This is to make them pass by and notice other products, stimulating impulse buys.
Whoa.
So deliberately make it less convenient.
They're conspiring against us, Brandt. You've come on a gold mine here.
I like you guys. I saw it. I saw what you said. We're in on this now. That's just the start. I got more. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Here's one tip that they share among each other. Place items that appeal to children. We suspected this.
Yes.
On the bottom two or three rows of your shelves, so they are at or near eye level to young children. So that makes it harder for us, but they don't care. They say this will generate requests to buy items parents often can't resist. Place impulse items such as gum or candy at eye level near the checkout counter to catch the attention of adults.
Wow. Generate requests. That's not what that's generating. That's generating tantrums.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Making it harder for us. And we're like, why did you put that? Well, they did it because of they're being told
they're talking to each other about this.
Here's another one. Use larger carts. A cart with space in it sends a subliminal message to many shoppers that they have not exhausted their budget and have more money to spend.
Wow.
You guys, we can read this. We heard that. You can see the social scientific data, the whatever, however they assess this, but people are happier if they are believers in God. Okay, take from that what you will. I'll tell you this, though. If the idea is, oh, if you want to be happy, you need to believe in God, it won't work. It will not work. If God is going to be a means to your end, well, he doesn't go for that. I mean, that's clear from the Bible, but I've also experienced this myself where it's like, yes, believe in God, and that's a way to be happy. Like, no. What you do is abandon the idea of happiness. Just want to serve God, and lo and behold, he'll restore joy into your life that you never had before. It's not because you're looking for the joy. It's because you're looking for him. And I'm just telling you this from experience. He will not be a means to an end. He will be the end, but he will not be a means to it. And amazingly, if you sacrifice your own goals, desires, all the stuff you think will bring you happiness to him, he'll restore everything more than you could have thought. I try to know what's going on. It's hard. They have to look at Yahoo and other
websites. So are you talking about in life or just in the world?
Just for the show.
Okay.
Because otherwise, look, if I wasn't on the radio, I would never look at anything.
Well, because it's not books. World War I anymore, so what is there to really look at?
I only study World War I books. And maybe the occasional C.S. Lewis or Chesterton. There's an article in Yahoo today about weight gain. It says, watch out for these hidden chemicals.
Okay.
And I'm like, honestly, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden chemicals.
Uh-huh.
Is that really the problem?
Hidden chemicals.
Or is it stuff that we can see, like that cheesecake? I mean, let's be honest. Is it really a hidden secret? You go through your own diet. I'm saying this from experience, too. Was it something hidden, or is it kind of obvious in retrospect?
I don't know, Brent. I think they put something in that pizza. I can't say for sure. I don't have any scientific facts, but there's something
there's
in
some
there.
There's some hidden chemical in this pile of butter I just put on this biscuit. We can't see it. That's the thing. That's why it's so tricky. It's secret.
It's tricky. It's a problem.
Something's in here. I'm telling you. We were just talking about food and nutrition and stuff like that. My name is Brant, by the way. Sherry is here, too. Sherry was alarmed. I've never had a Big Mac before in my life. Anything like that for you, Laura? Something you've never had? Everybody else is like, what?
No, not that I can think of off the top of
That's
my
fine.
Head.
Don't worry about it.
Were you shocked that Brant has never had a Big Mac? I was shocked by that.
No, frankly, I'm a little bit envious. Because I had one when I was 14, and that was enough for me.
You only had one.
You only had one. Wow.
Yeah, and I still regret it 30 years later.
You do?
I don't know. It was just, yeah.
Do you still feel kind of full? Girl's getting married in Elyria, Ohio, and she's 21 now, but back in 2000, so I guess she was like 6 years old. Her parents split. Her dad was engaged in a long custody battle with her mom that went on and on. They said it was like a soap opera. Well, she's getting married. She's had a stepdad who's been great to her. Mm-hmm. So she's had her dad, whom she loves, and she's got a stepdad she loves. By the way, I can relate to this. Mm-hmm. Love my dad. Love my stepdad. Who walks her down the aisle? Well, she asked her biological dad to do it, but then she started feeling bad about it. Like, I'm leaving out this stepdad who's been with me most of my life and has loved me and fathered me. How about this? Biological dad sees that that's an issue. And during the ceremony, stops and goes and gets him out of the crowd, the stepdad, and has them both walk her down the aisle. And the stepdad breaks into tears. Just fantastic. Just love that. And here's this guy that's been involved in a custody battle and everything we can see. You have blessed my daughter. And I love you for that. Just an absolutely great moment. If you come from a step family, you can maybe identify with this if you have a great stepmom or stepdad. I do. My stepdad is just amazing. I felt like... he full on basically said, I'm treating you as a son when he got married to my mom. And I thought, well, that's odd because I have a dad.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it really meant a lot to me. And then he immediately took me. This is the day after I graduated high school, they got married. And I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things I hadn't learned about fixing things. And he's an industrial arts teacher. He took me under his wing and he tried for years. he made me his maintenance man, and he kept trying, and eventually he gave up. But the point was,
didn't he tell you something like stick to the music
he
or
did.
Something? Yeah.
After a while, he's like, you know what?
Play your guitar, son.
You just write things. You're a good writer.
That's awesome.
But to this day, I'm so thankful for him. And the reason I was thinking about this because of this wedding story we were talking about, but it doesn't take anything away from your biological parent to have a great step parent. It's not like, it's just like having kids to me where it's not like it's a finite love amount.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a second child, I love my first child less. It's nothing like that. Like God used him not only to fill in the gaps in my life, but he's been a blessing to my mom. And as somebody who loves my mom, I'm just so thankful for him. I'll never not be thankful for him. And I love my dad. I'll never not be thankful for my stepdad, too. Thank you for spending time with us. We hope it's time well spent, honestly. Not just for us, but the whole radio station. It matters what you listen to. It matters what I listen to. We're used to that with kids. Like, oh, we don't want to have any, you know, they're influenced. So we got to make sure. Well, you're still influenced as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
What you put your mind on matters. You want to put your mind on true things, pure things, lovely things. What I'm saying is the way you think in general is affected by what you surround yourself with. And in fact, intellectuals will say, adults will say, oh, my primary influences are this person, that person, this thought leader, that other intellectual. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are 50, 60, 70-year-old intellectuals. Clearly it matters. I have found myself, if I read a particular author a lot, I start to think like him or her. Flannery O'Connor, G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, Timothy Keller. These things happen. If I spend time reading the Gospels, I start to see things through a certain lens. Same thing goes with if you're listening to a particular radio station. It really matters. It's not just for kids. Not being pedantic or telling you, oh, you have to do this, but it's just, it really is true. Who you hang out with, man, that determines how you think. They're hoping that you will want one of these things. Keurig, the coffee maker thing with the little cups.
Yes.
Their sales have declined. So
have they?
They're hoping to spike it. And Coca-Cola, their sales have declined, and they're hoping to spike it by doing a thing.
Oh, don't say it.
No,
you're making your own
make
soda?
Make your own Coca-Cola at home.
Why?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. A lot of times I look at, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of times I look at products and I'm like, well, I don't want that, but I bet that's a big demand by normal people.
Right. No, I don't.
I think so. And the other thing is, like, if your sales are off and you're partnering with somebody who's also nobody wants.
Yeah, we're going to be
decline,
real off. Yeah, real.
Yeah, maybe combining those two things. you combine with somebody that.
It's going up.
Going up.
And as you go down.
Maybe a reason why people aren't wanting all this. And now you're just mixing it all together into one thing that we don't necessarily want, you guys.
These are just suggestions.
Yeah, just suggestions. Yeah, I found another one of these. Insider grocery stores talking to each other about how to get more money from us.
Mm-hmm. This has been shocking. This is like an expose almost.
Yeah, here's another one. I just found the website where they don't think we can read it, apparently. Well, busted, you guys.
Yes, we see it. We
now
see
I'm
you.
I'm on the radio, so I can. They said use loss leaders. We've talked about other things that they'll do, but use loss leaders. Loss leaders are products that retailers sell at cost or less to bring customers in. If the price of milk spikes, sell it at your cost or a slight loss to get shoppers in. But here's the nefarious thing. Use staples such as milk, bread, and eggs as loss leaders on a regular rotating basis to position your store as a bargain grocery. So what they won't do, because you'll think, oh, bread was cheap here. And then you go back, milk's cheap here too.
Okay.
But they hike the bread. They say rotate it.
Oh.
So that you give the impression that you're the low price place.
You guys.
I know.
That is so sneaky. Come on, guys.
But now we've outwitted you. We know what you're doing.
But we still need the milk and bread.
Yeah, we're still coming. But make no mistake, it's still going to work. But we know what you're doing. So at least we just want you to feel a little bit guilty.
Bad about yourself.
Yeah, just a little bit. Thanks. So thankful to have a sponsor, MediShare. If you haven't heard about them, there's a reason why they're exploding. I mean, it's huge. It's an alternative to health insurance. It saves lots of money. But I thought, instead of just talking about it, why not slow jam it?
What?
I can slow jam about MediShare.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they were looking for when they decided to be a sponsor. Not that that isn't lovely.
Okay, well, if you're interested in finding out more about MediShare, you can go to biblicalhealthcare.com.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you want to call him, you can call 855-772-5699. People save hundreds of dollars a month. Some people up to like $1,000. I've seen close to $1,000 a month saved. Unbelievable.
And so, it's a feeling of community. When you call there, people, you know, talking to you, pray for you. And, you know, other people are praying for you, sending you cards. It's a community feeling.
It's a community.
Okay.
And that makes me.
How did I know that was coming
just
back?
Kind of want to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
MediShare, 855-772-5699. That's 855-772-5699 or biblicalhealthcare.com.
Well.
That's too much.
No, it's not enough.
Not enough.
Nobody's done this, but if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Brant, give me like 5 things to make life easier.
Okay, I'll do it. Hey, Brant, give me 5 things to make life easier. Sure.
I would start with this, Sherry. Thank you for doing that.
Sure.
Number one, just say I'm sorry. I mean, my goodness, why is this so hard? Genuinely, it will get easier over time. Just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Instead of going to the wall for something, like, and have to come up with justifications for things, it just makes life so much easier. And it's not like your esteem goes down with other people generally.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, so what? But generally speaking, if somebody apologizes to me, I think they're a bigger person.
Right. Like, because wow. You are. You have to swallow your pride. You have to do it.
It makes life a whole lot better. When's the last time you had to say you're sorry?
You know, it was just a couple of days ago. My 18-year-old and I had a moment that was not shining for either of us. I went back to him a few hours later and I said, you know, hey, it was inappropriate and I lashed out and I just said some things that were not, I don't know. They were things that I meant, but I did not say them well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then in that moment, they became things that I didn't mean, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
well, good.
I apologized and he forgave me and it was, we went on from there.
I tell you what, that's one thing about my mom. I have a wonderful mom. The one thing that I remember and still remember is even as a kid, if she said something or did something that she felt like was out of bounds, even though as a parent, you don't necessarily have to apologize because you're footing the bill around here, right? But she would. She would come back and say, you know what, I'm sorry I said that, or I did that wrong and I should have did it this way. That just always meant so much to me as a kid.
Just yesterday, I had to apologize to my husband because we were playing putt-putt golf, and he stepped in front of the ball, and it stopped at his foot, and I yelled at him to get out of the way.
Well, look, putt-putt is just, that's all it is a big argument starter.
It really is. And the farther you get, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone's having fun at hole one, but by the time you get to about 7 or 8, things are going downhill quickly.
Like the 8th time the windmill blocks your ball, you're already ticked. This must be pretty fancy. There's a hotel room. I don't know what the most expensive hotel room you've ever stayed in is, but this one is $75,000 a night.
Okay.
Which to me is
a little out of our price range.
I would say no. I would say,
right.
I don't want that room. Do you have another room? Because
that one's a little more
hard
than I was planning to pay.
It's in Manhattan, but it's for real.
Okay. All right.
So I start wondering, what would I expect for $75,000 for one night?
Great question.
One thing, it jumped out at me, is like, give me more than one. Usually, they'll just, like, they have a coffee machine in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They give you, like, one regular packet, one decaf.
I
want more regular packets.
5?
I don't know about that, but
okay.
Like, at least give me a couple because...
Okay, 2. All right. That's fair for $75,000.
I also listed some stuff. I want curtains. You know those heavy curtains they
did
have that
pull?
Block?
Mm-hmm.
I want those, but I don't want it so long that it blocks the air conditioner.
Okay. That's
you
and it blows,
mean?
Yes, and the room's getting hot and it's blowing
yeah, it's
the
like,
air
but
in
it's
the window.
All into the window.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
fair, Brent. These are fair requirements.
For $75,000, when you do the complimentary breakfast that everybody gathers at in the morning with the little juice thing, I want the waffle thing to work.
And not take so long.
I don't want to out of order. I don't want to take 20 minutes and have to flip it. That's just me.
That's fair, Brent.
I went to ice machine. I made a whole list. I want the ice machine to work on my floor.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if it's out of order on my floor, I want some nearby floor to have it work.
Okay.
And if you leave a sign and tell me, hey, go to the 4th floor.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, for $75,000.
Yeah,
that's the least they can do.
Tell me where the ice is. So, yeah.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, that would be nice. A lot of people walk around with low-level guilt, especially if you are raised or you're around religious culture. It's just the way it works. There are people, Jesus pointed out, religious leaders that would pile things on people's backs, like more to do. You can never do enough. And sure enough, I've grown up in religious culture, and I always feel like I'm not studying the Bible enough, I'm not praying enough, not evangelizing enough, not giving enough money away, I'm not involved in enough small groups, I'm not leading some enough ministries, I'm not, doing enough short-term missions. There's just a million things you can always feel like you're not doing enough. Not involved in enough Bible studies and morning prayer. You know what? Jesus blasted religious leaders for just piling on, putting stuff on people's backs. And he said, you don't lift a finger to help anybody. So this radio show, what I actually want to do and what Sherry wants to do too, we want you to feel like, if you listen for a while, like we did knock some stuff off your back. Like we reminded you just how good the news is about Jesus. And he's not evaluating you on all these categories that I just named. He actually just wants, he loves you. He wants you, wants your heart, and that's it. And the rest of the stuff follows, but that's not my concern. I just want you to know how good he is. So hopefully, if you're new to the show, over time you realize, man, I feel like I understand better just how much God loves me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.